The late afternoon sun in Minnesota usually signals the end of a shift. But on April 11th, 2021, the air in Brooklyn Center felt heavy with a different kind of energy. I remember the way the radio traffic started as a routine stop, the kind of everyday patrol work that defines the rhythm of suburban policing. It was a Sunday, and the streets were active with people moving between weekend errands and home. The intersection at 63rd Avenue North and Orchard Avenue became a focal point, not because of a high-speed chase or a violent confrontation, but because of a white Buick Regal and a pair of expired registration tags. There is a specific clinical stillness to a crime scene before the sirens and the shouting take over the environment. This particular stretch of road was unremarkable, lined with modest homes and budding trees that offered no hint of the chaos that was about to unfold. I looked at the pavement and the tire marks later, trying to reconstruct the exact moment the routine transformed into a tragedy. The quiet of the neighborhood was shattered by a single discharge, a sound that shifted the trajectory of multiple lives in a matter of seconds. Before the names became headlines and the intersection became a memorial, there was only the smell of exhaust and the sudden sharp realization that a life had been taken. This was the scene where the world first learned the name of Daunte Wright. The stop began at approximately 1:53 in the afternoon, when officers observed the Buick traveling through the residential area. When I reviewed the initial contact logs, the justification for the interaction was straightforward and based on visible violations. The officers noted the expired tabs and a decorative air freshener hanging from the rearview mirror, which provided the legal basis for the intervention. Upon checking the driver's identification, the computer system flagged an outstanding gross misdemeanor warrant for a weapons charge and a failure to appear in court. This information changed the nature of the stop from a simple citation to a mandatory arrest scenario. I watched the dash camera footage where the secondary officer approached the passenger side while the primary officer engaged Wright at the driver's door. The communication was professional at first, with the officers explaining the warrant and the necessity of taking him into custody. Wright stepped out of the vehicle as instructed, placing his hands behind his back near the open driver's door. As the handcuffs were being positioned, a struggle initiated when Wright pulled his arm away and lunged back into the driver's seat. The secondary officer attempted to restrain him from the passenger side, while a third officer, a veteran with 26 years on the force, moved into a supporting position. The physical tension in the footage is palpable as the officers grappled with the driver in the confined space of the vehicle cabin. The veteran officer reached for her service belt while shouting a specific warning to her colleagues. She announced the intent to deploy a taser, repeating the word three times in rapid succession, as per training protocols. However, the weapon she drew from her right-hand holster was her Glock 17 service pistol, not the bright yellow taser located on her left side. A single shot was fired into the driver's chest at close range while he sat behind the steering wheel. The digital evidence centered almost entirely on the body-worn camera footage, which provided a chillingly clear perspective of the mechanical error. I spent hours analyzing the frames where the officer's hand gripped the firearm, despite her verbalized intent to use a non-lethal device. The weight of a fully loaded Glock 17 is significantly different from a Taser 7, yet the high-stress environment of the struggle appeared to bypass the sensory feedback of the veteran officer. In the recording, the immediate aftermath shows the officer's realization of the mistake as she cried out that she had shot him. The Buick accelerated away from the officers, traveling several blocks before colliding with another vehicle at 63rd Avenue and Catherine Drive. Forensic technicians processed the interior of the car, documenting the ballistic damage and the medical trauma sustained by the driver. The autopsy later confirmed that Wright died from a gunshot wound to the chest, with the manner of death ruled as a homicide. I examined the holster configurations used by the Brooklyn Center Police Department to understand the physical mechanics of the draw. The taser was worn in a cross-draw position, requiring a specific reaching motion across the body, while the firearm was in a standard strong-side holster. The discrepancy between the training drills and the real-world application became the central focus of the forensic investigation. Analysts pointed to the concept of slip-and-capture errors, where a highly practiced motor program is executed incorrectly under extreme physiological pressure. The audio from the scene captured the frantic efforts of bystanders and the subsequent arrival of emergency medical services. Every second of the recording was cross-referenced with the GPS data from the patrol cars to establish a precise timeline of the shooting and the subsequent crash. The technical evidence was indisputable regarding the sequence of events and the identity of the shooter. The legal proceedings moved with a sense of urgency that reflected the heightened public scrutiny of the case. Kimberly Potter resigned from the police department shortly after the incident and was subsequently charged with first-degree and second-degree manslaughter. During the trial in December 2021, the prosecution argued that her extensive training made the mistake legally indistinguishable from culpable negligence. I followed the testimony of use-of-force experts who debated whether the use of even a taser would have been appropriate, given the proximity of the other officers to the moving vehicle. The defense focused on the chaotic nature of the arrest and the theory that the officer's actions were an accidental result of muscle memory failure. On December 23rd, the jury returned a guilty verdict on both counts, marking a rare instance of a police officer being held criminally liable for an on-duty shooting involving a weapon confusion error. In February 2022, the court sentenced Potter to 24 months in prison, a duration that sat below the state sentencing guidelines due to what the judge described as mitigating factors regarding her lack of prior criminal history and the accidental nature of the act. She served 16 months of that sentence before being released on supervised probation in April 2023. Parallel to the criminal case, the city of Brooklyn Center reached a $27 million settlement with the Wright family, which included funding for changes in police policy regarding equipment placement and traffic stop procedures. The case remains a definitive study in the intersection of human factors, police training, and the lethal consequences of technical errors in the field. The intersection where the stop began has since returned to a state of suburban normalcy, but the documentation of that afternoon persists as a permanent record of a routine encounter that ended in a definitive and preventable loss of life.